That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. If you would please join me, we're going to be in John chapter 12, continuing our study. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 8 today. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. John chapter 12, starting at verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Let us give thanks for God's words. Father, we thank you for this reminder that you give us this morning. That you are here with us, that you walk with us, and that you're with us, and that you watch over us, that you continue to shepherd us. And so, Father, now as we come to your words and your truth, we ask, Lord, that you help us to receive them. Help us to open up our hearts and our minds to the perfection that you are and to the imperfection that we are. And so we give you thanks and praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you go through life, right? And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. You know, we've all experienced that. We've all experienced times in our lives that, well, you know, that we wondered how we were going to come out on the other end. You know, and then, you know, God blesses us and he continues to lift us up. He continues to walk with us. He continues to clean us and help us to walk in the world. Just a few weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago now, I can't remember so much when, but I had a few dark days. And I don't want to make that sound like, you know, let's surround the pastor and save him or something, because I'm hopeless. But I think that, you know, it wasn't like that. It wasn't a depression, and it wasn't anything that, you know, that, well, be concerned, but not concerned. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so I think that's enough of that. All right, so, you know, I had a couple of dark days. And praise the Lord that there were men around me that surrounded me and made sure that I was okay, you know, and made sure that everything was going to be better. And to this day, I can't tell you what it was, except for this one thing, is that I'd realized that I had gotten away from Jesus. That had walked a little ways away from him, and any ways is a ways. And then as I walked away, then I started to realize that the reason that things seemed frustrating, the reason that things seemed to be not going my way was not because, you know, of anything that I was doing except for walking away from Jesus. And so then, you know, I was brought back to him, not only in my faith and in my prayers and in my devotions to Jesus, but by the devotion of others. Others who were willing to devote their time, you know, and to help me to realize where I was standing. And so as I realized that, where I was at, and came back, and now, you know, I'm able to tell you, because I think I'm out of that darkness, you know, but certainly there will be more dark days coming, you know, and certainly you have the same thing that you face. You face more dark days ahead, you know, and as we face those days, we have to remember that we face these things together. We don't stand apart from one another. We stand together, and that's what unity is all about. That's how we find ourselves in these moments that when we come to each other, you know, that we're talking and we're working with each other, we're helping each other to understand what's going on and how we're going to deal with it. It's how we help each other to understand where we're supposed to turn. You see, if you're standing in the light and I'm standing in the darkness, you know, what does it take for you to reach out of the light and reach into the darkness and to try to help me to be pulled out? That you act as the servant of God, of Jesus Christ, that you're the one who benefits from your salvation and from the light that he has given you, and that you reach back into a darkness when one of your loved ones has wandered off. You know, so I had that experience, and I'm not going to say that I've never had those, and I'm not going to say that I'll never have them again. I just can't. There's just no way. I'm imperfect in more ways than even you realize. I know you think I'm perfect, you know, but I'm doing my best to make sure you don't walk away with that image. You know, the only thing perfect about me is the lady that I married, you know. But as we remember where we are and who we are, then we always remember that there's some place to turn to. And I that's what I want to bring us back here today. You know, I struggled with this very hard. I struggled with this because I was looking at it and I said, I'm not finding what it is that God has in this, you know, for all of us. And I don't want to scare you by any of this, but be very frightened. No, I'm just kidding. Don't be frightened, okay? But what happened last night is that I got home, and we had a busy day. And so I got home, and I sat down, and I was trying to look at my notes, get ready for this morning. And then all of it, I looked at my sermon, and I thought, what on earth does that say? What on earth is that? And so, you know, the panic first sets in, and then, you know, you start to, it's like you would just realize now all of a sudden where I wrote all week long, I wrote a sermon, and Saturday night you realize that, man, this can't be the one. And so I started over, you know, and I had to scratch it all and try to, and my first step in my panic was to fall asleep in my chair. Always a good first start. So I woke up this morning, And you know, bypassed a lot of my usual routine because, you know, I had to rethink this and I had to look at this because God was talking to me through this and I wasn't listening. And so as he was talking to me and I'm trying to bring myself to listen, the one thing that I focused on this morning was listening. You know, God, tell me what you're trying to say here. Let me hear what you have for me so that I can tell them and so that I can help them to understand what we're looking at here. Now, here's what I got this morning. That as I spoke to God this morning and said, Lord, first off, help me because now I'm not ready. But Lord, help me because I know there's something here for us. I just can't see it. And so as he opened up my heart, as he opened up my mind, and certainly my eyes and my ears, he brought us to this moment that now that I see in this, that there is an amazing story that we need to hear. And it all starts with a miracle. If you remember the last time we met that we were talking about Lazarus and he was raised from the dead. Now, if you just kind of just skip with me back into chapter 11, we're just going to look at verse 16. You see, when God performed this miracle and he raised Lazarus from the dead, and I think this is really important that we understand this. This is the thing that I kept missing out on. But in verse 16, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Okay, now let's turn back to our reading. Now, what makes that so important is because that we understand then that Judas, along with Mary and Martha, were at the raising of Lazarus. They were there together. So Mary, then we see it now in this account that we're brought to, that the focus here is on Mary, and it's on Judas, and it's on Jesus. Okay, Lazarus and Martha kind of take a back seat, don't they? They kind of Martha continues to serve them, and then Lazarus reclines at the table with Jesus. You know that they are there having this meal with Lazarus, and so then we see then that Mary and Judas, as they are watching Jesus, they're talking to Jesus. He's at the table with them. They have two different responses. They have two different responses. I mean, they were at the same miracle. They watched the same dead man come out of the grave. And as they watched that dead man come out of the grave, you know, in their minds, they're all standing there and they're seeing a miracle. But in their minds, in their hearts, they're thinking something completely different. Now, I don't know about you, but if we're standing at a tomb and somebody comes out, it's going to change my life. In one way or the other, my life will be changed. That as I see that happening, that as I see then that Christ called this man from the dead, then that obviously then I have to look at Jesus and wonder, Jesus, will you do that for me? Jesus, can you raise this dead man? But Judas doesn't see it that way. Judas has a whole different response. You know, it's almost like, you know, you wonder when he was standing there and this man was risen from the dead, did Judas, in his response, was it kind of, oh, that's nothing. We see that all the time down where I come from. Back in Iowa, we're raising people from the dead all the time. It's true. But, you know, as we look at these things, you know, and we see these responses, don't you ask yourself why? What is going on here that one man, this man, Judas, would see this, and this woman, Mary, that she would see this. Now, she would, all of a sudden, she would have a different response. And it's one that we're going to look at for a moment, but very hard for that moment. You know, my wife would tell you, there's a reason why men can't see things, and women can. All right, but I don't think it has to do with that. Okay? It's not because she's always right, and I'm always wrong. That may be the case in my house, but that's not why this is happening, okay? So as we look at this and we see these responses, we're going to take a look first at Mary and what she has done. Let's look back on our verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard and expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Okay, so we have this woman, Mary. Her brother Lazarus was dead. Lazarus is now alive. Jesus came, and he answered their prayers, and he brought Lazarus back to life. Even when they believed it couldn't happen, he did it anyway. He didn't do it for Mary. He did it so that God would be glorified. The miracle that he performs is never really for the person, although people benefit from it. It's always to glorify the God who sent him. And so that's what he's doing. He's glorifying his Father. He wants them to know God. He wants them to be saved. And so then he does this for Mary. So the question is, what did you see? What did you think happened? Shows in their lives, don't you think? Isn't that how it works in our lives? Don't we have that where we can look at and we can say, this is who knows Jesus and this is who doesn't know Jesus? Because then when Jesus acts, when Jesus performs this miracle and he shows us this salvation that's in front of us, not only in the physical sense he could raise people from the dead, but in the spiritual sense he will raise us from the dead, that as he does this then that Mary's life is changed. Okay, and it shows then in her response to this. Jesus sits at her table. And as he sits there, then Martha serves and then Lazarus sits next to him, the man who was brought back from the dead. And that as they sit there, then Mary starts to devote herself to Jesus. Now, this is what this means. Devotion is when we take something that we have and we give it to Jesus. That you remember in the Battle of Jericho when they went in and they did what God told them to do. God said, go in there and destroy that city, destroy all of the people there, and that as you destroy them, you turn them back over to me. Okay, so when we die, we are turned over to God. That's how they are devoted to God. And that when we devote things to God, we turn it back over to Him. When we devote our lives to God, we turn it back to Him. We give it back to Him without any expectation for what we get in return. We give it to Him. We devote it to Him because we have seen that He is Christ the Savior. We have seen Him raise people from the dead. We have seen Him change lives. We have seen Him take a man who was abusive to their children and to their wives and turn them into pacifists, turn them into loving, godly men. We have seen that time and time again. We have seen women who are raised from the dead who become the caretakers of all those in the church. We have seen women that can do the things that God has called them to do, that they have the power of an army. That as we see then what Mary is responding to, she's responding to what she has seen in Jesus Christ. She's responding then to this faith that she has in Him. You know, she had an understanding, but now she saw, and so now she believes, and now she was lost, and now she is found. So she stands there and she does this. Now let's look at what she's done. She's taken this expensive perfume, we're told, and she's poured it out onto Jesus' feet. She's poured it out. She's broke the lid off of it. Once it's broken and the seal is broken, you either use it or you throw it away. And so she takes it and she pours it on Jesus' feet. She takes her hair, which the Bible tells us is the glory of the woman. And she takes her hair then, which is on by the way. She's cleaning the dirtiest part of the body that they believe. The feet touch the ground, and so it's always dirty. And so she cleans that. She cleans his feet. And then she takes her hair, and she cleans and dries off his feet with her hair. So she has taken her glory, and she is putting it on what would be the disgusting part of a person, his feet. And she cleans him. She devotes her hair, her glory to Him. She devotes her perfume to Jesus. She devotes herself to Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Man, you know, I got to tell you, when I went through that, you know, this morning, and I'm going through my panic and my frustration, you know, I realized just how much I was put to shame by Mary. You know, look at what she devotes. Look at how she devotes this. And sometimes I don't think I can even devote another extra hour. You know, sometimes I go home and I feel sorry for myself. You know, I think, man, look how busy I am. Look how tired I am. You know, I'm glad Jesus wasn't too busy to die on the cross. I'm glad He wasn't too tired when He got there. You know, He was only beaten and torn. You know, but as He went to the cross for me, that I realized that, man, look what Mary did. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry that I can't be Mary sometimes. But then Judas comes along and he has an objection, right? He's got an objection to all this. Let's look at his objection here in 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Now, we get a commentary from John in verse 6, and John says, now, the reason he did this, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas is a disciple. Judas is a follower of Jesus Christ. Judas has committed himself to follow and walk with Jesus and to learn from Jesus and to do what He said, to obey Jesus, to submit himself to Jesus. And if somebody shows this devotion to Jesus, he objects. I mean, he was at the same miracle. He was standing there when Lazarus came out, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And so Lazarus came out, and Jesus was there, and Judas was there. And when Judas heard Jesus say to Lazarus, to the people around Lazarus, take those grave clothes off and set him free. And so as they set him free then, you know, what was Judas thinking? Was he thinking this would be a great show? I bet we could get a lot of money out of this. I bet if we could get Jesus to go to every town and to do this at every cemetery, that I bet that we could raise so much money that we could live on easy street for the rest of our lives. You see, Judas was a practical guy. He's looking at this. You don't realize that perfume you just wasted on his feet. You could have just sold that, put the money in the bag, and of course we would use that for the poor. But John says that's not how it was. John says that's not what he was doing. Yes, he wanted the money in the bag, but that's because he helped himself. You see, what I realized in those dark days, or from those dark days, I wasn't Mary. I was Judas. That as I listen to what Jesus does and says and see these things and hear these things, that I was more concerned about the things that I saw or that I said or that I did. That I was being more practical than I was being devoted. And you see, loved ones, this is the thing, is that when we devote ourselves to Jesus, when we give ourselves to Jesus, He brings us out of the darkness. He brings us out of the muck. He brings you out of the grave, even when you're trying to get back into it. that he brings us out of these things so that we can know him and live in him. It's not a practical issue. And it's not a matter of us saying, well, how many times are you in church this year? How many times did you give this year? What did you give? How much did you give? It's not about that. It's easy to be practical. And we see it all the time in a lot of things of the church. And not just this church, but the church. That we see things that are more concerned about the practical than we are about the miracle that Jesus performed on the cross. That as we bring ourselves to this understanding, we're going to find out that we're going to stand on one side or the other. We're either going to be Mary or we're going to be Judas. I wish there was an in-between too, because I was looking for that hard. It's not there. You're one or the other. You're Mary or you're Judas. I think, well, you know, I like to think that I'm not that bad. You know, I was only in a little bit of the darkness. Not a lot of bit of the darkness. I wasn't way over there. And I hadn't given up my faith on Jesus. You know, I still believed. I just got work to do. But you see, that's not what Jesus is talking about, and that's not how he brings us to this understanding. What he helps us to understand is that the perfume that Mary wasted on him was for him. No matter what happened in there, and now Jesus comes to his intervention, and if you look down in verse 7, we see this intervention that Jesus brings. He says, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save that perfume for my burial. She bought it for Jesus' burial. She spent her money on this expensive perfume so that she could bury her master. That was for his time when he died. She says, I am now going to take this and I'm going to honor my God, my Savior, Christ, Jesus himself, with this pure nard. This perfume. I'm going to honor him in this way. I'm going to take it. I'm going to devote it to him now. Now, we get another input from this in Mark. Mark, who writes for Peter. And in Mark 14, 6 to 9, he says, Jesus said, and this is his account, leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus says what she has done will always be remembered. No one will ever forget. Now, I'm sure Judas, you know, as he hears that from Mark's account, as he hears that, he's thinking, she'll be dead in 20 years. And they're going to forget all about her. So that's not what we're talking about, Jesus. What we're talking about is what we're doing with the money that is in my bag. That's what we're talking about here. But as Jesus reminds us that Judas, you know, he died also, that he died without Jesus, that he would face what was coming to him and he would get what he deserved from God. In other words, he would die without God. That Mary then would receive what she deserved. You see, this is not a matter about earning. This is not a matter about working and getting it right. What this is a matter of, who you love. Who do you love? Who do you devote yourself to? Mary says, I devote myself to Jesus Christ. Our church should be nothing but devoted to Jesus Christ. Sure, we're going to deal with the practical. We're going to deal with all the things that take place. We're going to organize. We're going to be prepared. We're going to help ourselves to be ready. We're going to celebrate a 50th. We're going to do all of those things. We're going to move along. But no time and no way should ever we forget that Jesus Christ is the one that we devote it to. We don't devote those things to ourselves. You see, that's why John gives us that commentary. He wants us to know that Judas is devoting it to himself. Is that where your devotion goes? Do you devote to yourself? Do you give to yourself? You see, that's where I found myself in those dark days. That I found myself that I was more worried about what I had or didn't have. That I was more worried about what I couldn't do or could do and didn't want to. You know that as we look at these things, we find ourselves standing in a place, and sometimes that place we're standing is with Judas. Are we standing there with him? Or are we devoting what we are and what we have to Jesus Christ? Is he our priority? Remember, Jesus once told us too, he said that if you're going to store up treasures, don't store up your treasures here in the world. That's only temporary. You will lose those. They will be moth-eaten, that they will rust, they will decay, they will go away. But if you store your treasures in heaven, it will be forever. You will have me only for a little while. But then, when I am gone, you can still have me. That you can still be with Jesus forever. But you see, Jesus lays down onto this a time frame. He lays down a time frame for us when he says, yeah, but you will not always have me. You will not always have me. So he says, act now. Act now. The poor you're always going to have. You're always going to have the poor. You see, because number one, he knows that Judas doesn't care really about the poor. He just cares about himself. He considers himself to be the poor. You know, but as he sees himself in that way, though, but the question really comes for the rest of us, well, what about the poor? Shouldn't we go to them first? Shouldn't we deal with them first? Jesus says, not until you've dealt with me. Not until you've been devoted to me, then you can go to the poor, because then when you go to the poor and you devote yourself to them, it's because you have devoted yourself to Jesus, that He is there with you. He will bless that. He will honor that in you. He honored Mary by giving us a memory of Mary forever. We are still talking about her. We are still talking about what Mary has done in her devotion to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You know, I wonder. We talked about 50 years, and I wonder, another 50 from now or 100 years from now, will somebody come back and say, I remember the day that Ben Romero stood up there and he opened up his heart and he said, this is how messed up we are, or I am. And that when he confessed it, oh, I remember then he talked about Mary and he gave us an amazing sermon on Mary, you know, that he wrote that morning before he came in. That he did all of those things and we're going to remember him forever. You know what, loved ones? Don't take this the wrong way. I don't care. What I care is that Jesus remembers me. I hope that's what you care about too. Care about what Jesus remembers. That's what Mary's doing. She doesn't care what Judas thinks. Bam, she cracks open the bottle. She pours it on Jesus' feet. She takes her hair and she starts cleaning him up. The dirtiest part. And Judas says, woman, what are you doing? What are you, crazy or something? And Jesus intervenes and Jesus says, you can say that all you want, Judas. But what she has done will be remembered forever. She has stored this treasure in heaven that will last longer than your life. Loved ones, this is incredible. This is incredible that we are devoted to, that we get an opportunity to devote ourselves to Jesus Christ. And it must become full tilt. It must be with all of our hearts. It must be a time that we bring ourselves to our disciplines of God. See, that was what really was pushing me into the darkness. I wasn't praying like I should be. I wasn't in my word like I should be. I wasn't devoted to you like I should be. I wasn't loving on you like I should be. You know, because I tell you the truth, I was just tired. I wanted a break. You know, it's like, do I have all the answers? I do. I got an answer for everything. You may not like it, and it may not even work. But, you know, after a while, you find yourself in a role where you just say, somebody says, well, what about this problem? You say, well, just believe in Jesus. Go away. You know, or someone brings you another problem, and, they start to build on you after a while. And then after a while, then you start to kind of move away from that because you think you're solving everybody's problems. Loved ones, I am not solving your problems. I'm only helping you with them. And that's the perspective that Mary has. There's someone in the room who has saved my brother. He brought him from the dead. And by doing that, he has saved me too. And so she devotes herself to him. She could have devoted herself to Judas if she wanted to. She didn't want to. Jesus was the one who saved her. Jesus was the one that brought her into faith. So you see, so there's where we stand when we stand in this darkness. And I tell you that when we come into this honoring Jesus, when we honor him with our devotions, we cause a stink in the room that's incredible. That we provide this aroma that's like perfume. Check this out. Paul later is writing to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 2, in 14 to 16. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. Okay, Paul takes a step further. He said, Jesus came out and he captured you and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And I love this question. And who is equal to such a task? Who's equal to that? Well, Jesus is equal to that. But as we have this this devotion that we give to Jesus, as we give our love to Him, as we give our love to each other, we create this aroma of perfume, this aroma of this sweet, wonderful smell that rises up to God and up to Jesus, and they smell it and they're pleased. But there are times, and then when we walk away and we stand with Judas for a little while, kind of get our arm around Judas, you know, and then say, "Hey, buddy, Judas, you know, what are we working on today? Let's get something done here. Let's get her taken care of. Let's get her done." We smell like death. You see, in my dark days, I believe I smelled like death, and I believe that these men who smelled that death on me responded in love. They responded with the pleasing aroma, with the aroma that saves, that is Jesus Christ. They responded. They didn't have any answers. They didn't have any answers. They didn't know what to say. For crying out loud, their pastor's sitting there in front of them and he's having a problem. He's the guy with all the answers. And we're about to lose him. No, you weren't about to lose me. It wasn't that bad. But you know, but they're looking at it, and you can imagine the things that are going on in their mind, and they're thinking, what is he doing? What is he saying? What are we going to say? And what did they say? They broke open this jar of perfume, you see, and they cleaned my feet. And they said, "We're with you." And I said, I think I'm just being abnormal. And they said, "Yeah, you are. You're abnormal. That's why you're with us." They treated me with the love that we find, and that we all know that Jesus Christ is the one who saved us. That we know that Jesus Christ is the one who devoted Himself to us. Loved ones, you can't ever let go of that. Jesus devoted Himself to you on the cross. He died paying the price that you can't pay. He devoted Himself back to His Father. And as He died on the cross, He said, "Forgive them. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." What kind of aroma are we going to be? How are we going to honor Jesus' name? We're getting there. But I don't ever want you to think we're there. We're going to continue to press on, Faith Bible. We're going to continue to reach out to the poor because we have reached out to Jesus Christ first. That when our faith is established, that when we establish ourselves in a place and we want to be an aroma to God that rises up there in the sweet-smelling perfume that it is, we must act. You see, that's what's happening here too. Mary does something about it. She does something about it. Judas, in all his practicality, does nothing. He stands still, and he complains, and he says, "Why would you do that? Why would you help someone like Jesus?" Well, they had a dinner that honored him, and Mary honored him. But as we look at Mary, and we want to aspire to be like Mary, especially in the memory that she has, we have to remember, loved ones, that it takes our hearts. It takes our actions. It takes our love for Jesus Christ. Be always devoted to Him. And don't worry about the practical. He will take care of it. He will press us. That's what I'm waiting for. That's why I was frustrated. Because I've been waiting and waiting for Him to press us outside of these walls. And I didn't take the time to actually look at what Jesus was doing in my devotion. He was already working in you. So I went from Judas to Mary. What a honoring way for us to love God. Loved ones, whether you like it or not, you're stuck with this abnormal guy. We are going to press forward. We are going to honor Jesus Christ. And if you feel like you can't, you tell somebody, and they will help you. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for this time. Lord, I just thank you for all that you show us and all your miracles and that you still continue to love on us and to help us to be what we're supposed to be. Thank you, Lord, for this place, these people, that they have surrounded me in your love and in faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you have reminded me of how godly people love one another. I thank you, Lord, for not only the memories that they build with each other that we can celebrate and honor, but I thank you, Lord, for the memories that we are building up that will last forever. I thank you, Father, that you continue to bless us through your glory and through your love and forgiveness. And I ask now, Lord, that you help us to always be honoring to your name and to your Son who has saved us from the dead. And it's in his name that we pray and worship. Amen.